The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me now, though, in studio is Danny McCoy, the CEO of IBEC, Tanya Ward, CEO of the Children's Rights Alliance, and our own business correspondent here on The Hard Shoulder, Emmett Oliver. You're all very, very welcome. Danny, how would you describe today's budget? I think the baby budget is, I think it was Andrea Gilligan used that phrase earlier.
Well, look, the scale of it is, you know, much flagged, but you just have to stand back and just see the scale of the money. And it comes as no surprise, representing business, it's business provided the resources here. The corporate taxation is the big pot of money that's allowing the decisions. It's hard to see coherence in it, actually. It's obviously doing some of the big things in terms of infrastructure from the windfall gains. Just judging by the amount of unhappiness you're hearing from people reporting in on this, it's pretty remarkable achievement for that scale of money, because it feels like a monsoon of money coming at us, but they don't appear to be getting it into the right buckets for people, this rainfall.
From a business point of view, who is likely to be disappointed? We heard before the break from Adrian Cummins, and obviously the hospitality industry have been fighting this campaign for some weeks and months to have VAT reduced. They didn't get that. And the rationale from government might be, you know, more money in people's pockets gets them out spending more, and then you can always reduce VAT in kind of more dire circumstances. I don't know. We'll talk to Jack Chambers later, but what's your sense?
My understanding from the Restaurant Association that they wanted that VAT reduction to go straight to the restaurateur as opposed to changing the prices for the consumer. So it's so effectively it was looking for a subsidy to kind of offset some of the really significant costs that put pressure on the hospitality and SMEs more generally. So the government has gone some of the way with this, you know, in fact, if you've got rateable costs below 30,000, you're going to get up to a 4,000 euro grant. That's gone some of the way to actually address more than just hospitality, because it is more than just hospitality. You're facing the 12% minimum wage rise last year, 6.5% announced today for next year. So those substantial costs really need to be dealt with through the PRSI system, because they're actually on the wage bill as opposed to on the VAT, on the price or something. And I think that opportunity was missed to actually address it to where the problem was, which is on labour costs. I don't think the consumers out there are wanting for money to go out. There's other factors that money needs to be spent on in terms of security, feeling safe, transport to get there, and so on. So I think incoherent would be probably my main view at this point.
Yeah, well, we might come back then to some of that kind of public investment, as it were, in making us feel more secure and better public transport and all the infrastructure around it. I think they used the word infrastructure between them 41 times during the two speeches. Emmett, what stood out for you?
Yeah, I suppose I would echo a little bit what Danny says. A bit of a lack of a narrative here. You know, we've got a young minister in his mid-30s. He's got more money than any minister of finance literally in the history of the state. So you're kind of turning on the television, you're going, this is going to be radical stuff here. We're going to really have a signature budget that has that sort of slightly TK Whitaker feel about it, looking forward into the future. And then it kind of just was a bit flat. We didn't hear much about the Apple money. We know there's some framework that's going to be set up. Fascinating sort of civil servant speak, but we don't really know much about what's going on there. And even the cost of living was kind of last year's story in a little bit of a sense that inflation is down a lot. Interest rates are being cut. The energy markets are not quite as in disaster as they were at this time last year. So there was sort of a feeling that the one bit that was the golden thread in there was a bit jaded. So just in terms of a message, and I know there's more than going on messages and there's real lives out there and all the rest of it, but I just felt looking over the speech, there was a lack of a narrative from a young minister coming into his first budget. And I know he's not the only one, and you've obviously got Minister Pascal Donoghue riding shotgun alongside him, but a lot of individual payments costing 10 million here, 15 million there, a little bit water pistol-y with a little bit going in, as you would say, for everybody. But then you're looking for that big sort of arc that I just personally couldn't see in there.
Yeah. But, is that big arc just the general election?
That might be the arc.
that's the arc.
I'm missing the arc, maybe. You know?
But I just wondered, I could be guilty of looking, kind of adding two and two and getting five here, but did we get a little insight into where the Apple tax was going to go when they talked about the 3 billion that we got from AIB, from selling shares in AIB?
Yeah, I presume.
That went to the LDA, Air Grid and Irish Water. And then Pascal Donoghue, that was Jack Chambers' speech. And then in Pascal Donoghue, in his speech, he said, listen, we don't know what we're doing with it yet, but it's going to go to housing, the energy grid, the water infrastructure and public transport he added in as well. I just wonder, is that the AIB spend the template for what we're going to see with Apple tax?
I presume the split would be something similar. But even beneath that, you want to know when we say grid or when we say water or when we say housing, what precisely are the projects? How many years will it take to deliver? And I think
you want to know if we're getting our whitewater rafting
facility.
I want
to know if I'm getting my railway to the airport. I would love to see that coming on. And the problem is with all these capital projects is they take so long. So the politicians might be thinking, that's not going to pay off for the next election. That's somebody who will get the benefit of that 5-10 years from now. And unfortunately, that short-termism is what's afflicting us at the moment.
Tanya Ward with us as well, like I say, the CEO of the Children's Rights Alliance. Tanya, what's your sense of the opportunities missed in this budget, but also kind of maybe the positives as well?
Yeah, we'll start with the positives. Yeah. And I'd say probably the core message is probably children and families. I think we picked up reference to children 29 times in the budget. And we haven't always seen that. You know, I'm in the Children's Rights Alliance over 10 years. So this is probably the budget where there's the biggest focus on families. What I'd say about it is, I think when it comes to income, and that's where a lot of the announcements really circulate around. And let's start off with the most vulnerable people in the budget, people on welfare payments. Look, there are increases for children under 12 of €4 and children over 12 of €8. So they are listening to the evidence that it's costing more to raise a child over the age of 12. And those families, they're the ones less likely to have food on the table a couple of nights a week. What was also significant as well is they've obviously made these double payments of child benefit payments, you know, very popular for a lot of families. A lot of families don't need it as well, but they don't have a mechanism as yet to do a second tier payment, which is what we need in Ireland for those families, let's say on low pay or on welfare payments that need that extra help to get over the line. Where the other money goes, there's some good increases, let's say, for carers. And I think the government probably really listened to the pain that people with disabilities were living through and carers were living through, particularly around the last referendum. So you see the grant supporting carers ones off 152,000. So that's all good. What I think is probably going on more broadly is with these once-off type payments is, if you remember the recession, if you lived through the recession, they took a lot of pain when they cut rates of social welfare, particularly the child benefit payment. So what you get when you just do a bonus payment of two bonus payments of child benefit is you get positive news story around it, but you don't. It doesn't result in a cut for the next government or the next recession. And I'd say the pain of the last recession is there, but we probably need to see a better reform really of the child welfare payments. Where I think they've done, and this is, it's a continuation of the news story from last year, but this will be very significant, and we'll look back in years to come. They've extended school books to 5th and 6th year students. Yes. That's really important. That's 50 million. That wiped out really all that extra money in the education budget is what it did. And they also extended hot school meals to all children in primary school. That's a norm north of the border, other countries in Europe. That should have been done long ago. It's great to see those measures in place. Where there might be some frustration is, you know, there's help for parents with paying the cost of childcare. I think it's about €100 a month. Probably what people would like to see is more investment in public services. I think that's what our money goes further when we invest in public services, and we don't, because you want to include cash and income for very low income families. But for families on higher incomes, they don't need it. But what they want to make sure is there's a GP there when a child needs it, or I don't spend 3 days on the trolley in hospital. Mm. So that's the wider story. But I think probably one of the reasons why they've gone in this direction is they're concerned with moving rates, because a recession will loom in a couple of years' time, and they don't have all the answers, let's say, when it comes to a second-tier child benefit payment.
Danny, are too many people going to be in receipt of direct government funding through that kind of double child benefit payment who just simply don't need it?
Yeah, absolutely. We know this. I've said it many times. We know, again, from the bank statistics, there was something about 158 billion on deposit last night owned by Irish households, close to €80,000. So the idea of giving energy credits of a couple of €100 to these individuals, and they are in the population. There's no doubt about it. It's not just a few. This couldn't possibly be true in just a few people leaving all their money there. Is that without targeting to what Tanya is saying there, this is it's reprehensible. You really are just throwing money into people don't need it, who will fuel inflation, and so just keep this going. We that old proverb of blessed are those who plant a tree under whose shade they will never sit, really is this what should be the signature on this one, this to actually see for the future and get over the short term. And the other piece that'll never get talked about today, kind of to echo Emmett's point, is we're taking big global international positions on a world that's very dangerous and we're rich. It's very little to see here as to what we're actually going to do for the world. We're obsessed about ourselves in terms of our infrastructure, about our welfare system, but we actually have a moral responsibility, particularly when we see where the source of the money is coming from in the international tax. And so, you know, there's an opportunity here for us to actually make a statement about being citizens of the world. If we're not standing up on many issues in terms of our neutrality in a world that's getting much more in need of defence, you know, there are things beyond our little bubble here that we should have been seeing some statements today about our future in the world as well.
Emmett, to that point, like where the money is coming from, if you take out the Apple tax money, which I think is fair to do because that really is a one-off. Now, you take out windfall corporation tax receipts. It's not entirely fair to do that because they're not going to disappear overnight. You know, they might kind of ebb away over time, but they won't completely disappear. But let's just, you know, for the sake of argument, to take them away. We kind of ran a budget deficit of over 6 billion euro with today's announcements. And it does give you a sense of the point Danny is making, how reliant we are on these kind of multinational companies. They've got footprints all over the planet.
Yeah, like let's do a thought experiment. Myself, Tanya and Danny are here, but we don't have the corporation tax receipts. The conversation would be completely different because we're running a structural deficit of several billion, as far as I'm aware, if we didn't have that money. So it's only one thing. It's important. You're right. It won't disappear overnight. It might ebb rather than disappear. But underlying, if you look at the underlying performance, if you were a company, you'd say we had a really good and exceptional year, but our other years and our future years might go back to the previous mean. So we just need to be very careful. And also, when I always see these individual measures, I'm thinking to myself politically, how would you ever claw a lot of these back down the line? If you're saying kids must go free on public transport up to a certain age, you get free school books, you've got HRT patches, you've got a baby boost, you've got the bus to travel with your mother or father as a companion, all this stuff, much of which is great, and I'll be a beneficiary if my parents will take me on the bus, right? But the point I'm making is you'll have to claw all these back in the eye of a recession. And the future minister is going to be damn awkward to price those things off people.
It's why we advocate for them, because we know, right, the research tells us if you put it into a service, they're less likely to call back in a recession, but they will claw back targeted measures and targeted payments. So we know it's kind of nearly recession proofing school books, hot school meals. That's really important for the future. But you know, one thing on the Apple tax, like we need to be thinking broader in relation to it, because we need to be thinking about schools, building schools. We need to be thinking of building early year settings. We need to be thinking about play and recreation. They're all important game changers for the economy as well. Because if you invest in the children of today, you're actually investing in the economy and the workforce of the future.
I actually did a survey the other day with some third level students I was teaching, right? I said, what do you want to see in this budget? So they're all about 2021, okay, various backgrounds. And do you know what came up? Transport, buses, trains. Can I get in the morning? Can I get in from the commuter belt? Not a lot of the stuff that's announced today. It was all back to this infrastructure point that, and reliability. Can I access state services?
Yeah.
Not the cost of them, but will they actually be there was actually the point.
And we'll take a break in a moment and we'll come back to some of that, because I mentioned this already, some of those kind of public services and public infrastructure. But Tanya, before you go, I just want to ask you about kind of the most vulnerable children in society, people you and I have talked about in the past, children who are kind of on waiting lists for assessment of needs or post assessment of needs or waiting on kind of therapeutic intervention. And I understand it's not a simple problem to solve. If it was, governments would have solved it a long time ago. At the same time, you have to wonder at what economic conditions do we need in this country to solve the problem? If a 25 billion euro budget surplus after an 8 billion euro budget surplus last year, after a God knows how much billion euro budget surplus next year, and probably a several billion euro budget surplus next year, if we can't improve conditions for those children and provide the basic services that they're actually legislatively entitled to, it kind of begs the question, exactly, what kind of economy do we need to actually solve that problem?
Or what political system do we need, right? So, you know, if your 16 and 17 year olds could vote, what impact would that have? Because I have to say, as an advocate, when I hear the figures being thrown around for the pension, of course, I think absolutely older people should be getting the investment they need. But I know that because they are a very important and influential voting bloc, it really helps the campaign. Whereas with children, children don't vote. Their parents do, and you'll often see the asks, you know, directed towards them. But I do think we could see some significant change if 16 and 17 year olds come out. And that's really important because they're not, you know, washed up with climate grief. They're ready to go. They're ready to, you know, come up with the solutions. I think the political system would reorientate itself if they actually came forward and were able to vote. What I do think about the budget, and it could be hidden, and there is some important details. I mean, it does include, let's say, international protection payment for children and direct provision. Last year's budget did as well, and they did nothing with that. Like, you're talking about some of the most vulnerable children in the country, the only group of children actually that this government did nothing for when it comes to payments, even in the face of the cost of living crisis. So I hope they do implement that. They are looking at hot school meals as well in the summer months.
Yeah.
That is very important. And look, these are families that don't vote probably because they're too, like, they're dealing with the everyday cost of living issues. They're just trying to put food on the table. They don't have time to be dealing with anything else. So some of those things are important and they're there in the budget. And it's really important that they continue in future years. But the kind of change you want to see happen, Kieran, I think we need to see 16 and 17 year olds vote. And I think things would look a bit different in the budget.
Tanya, listen, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.